So what I want to talk about today is a sugya that we sort of skipped over about Baal Tigra. We didn't talk much about Baal Tigra. I just want to make a couple of important points that I'm not sure people looked into. So we have two different parshios in the Torah that talk about the violations of Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra. One is the pasuk in Parshas Va'eschanan where we're told, Lo sosifu al hadavar asher anochi mitzava eschem velo sigru'u mimenu. And then you have in Parshas Re'eh, once again, one of them is written b'lashon yachid, one of them is written b'lashon rabim, and many mefarshim are bothered. Why do we need two different psukim and two different parashas to teach us the very same halacha of Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra? I think probably the most famous answer that's given is the Vilna Gaon suggestion in the Aderes Eliyahu, where he writes that there's two different situations that the psukim here are describing. If you want to look it up, the Aderes Eliyahu is in Parshas Re'eh, not in Parshas Va'eschanan. So the Vilna Gaon writes as follows. He says that the pasuk in Parshas Va'eschanan is talking about someone who's mosif a mitzvah onto the Taryag mitzvahs. For example, I come along and I say, you know what, I have a great idea. We should light Neres Chanukah, and that will be one of the Taryag mitzvahs. Or I say, we should begin to shake the flowers on Shavuos. That will be a new minag, a new mitzvah that we should all observe as a mitzvah d'oraisa. There, says the Vilna Gaon, that would be something that would be mosif al hatariyag mitzvahs. Or, for that matter, says the Vilna Gaon, if you say, we shouldn't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos because the Torah told us not to. That would be considered a Baal Tigra in that sense. However, he says, there is a second category of Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra, and that is when the mitzvahs, I agree, I don't deny that the mitzvah is the mitzvah, but I'm just questioning the gufa mitzvah. I say, no, instead of taking dalad minim, I think you should take five minim. Instead of having four tzitzis, I think you should have five tzitzis. In any case like that, he says, that's making a shinui in the gufa mitzvah itself. It's not inventing a whole new mitzvah or getting rid of a mitzvah that was there. It's changing a little bit of the format of how we're going to do the mitzvah that was already there from day one. And therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, you need two different sukkim. One to teach me that you're not allowed to add or take away a new invention of a mitzvah. And number two, he says, you need it to teach you how you're supposed to go about performing the mitzvahs that you believe were there all along in the Torah itself. There's a very famous mashal given by the Dubna Magid, which is a mashal to give us a little bit of an understanding and an inkling into the Isra of Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra. So he writes that there are two different types of objects in the world. He said some objects are uncomplicated, they're very simple objects, and you have others which are very complex, very compounded kinds of objects. And he says the more simple kind of object is one, like a slab of wood, so there's nothing to it. And he says anything of that nature, the bigger the wood, the bigger the piece of wood, the more expensive it's going to be, the more worth it it's going to be. If you have a piece of gold that's not worked on at all, the bigger the piece of gold, the bigger the piece of silver, the more expensive, the more valuable it is. That's all. That's the value that you know of. However, he says you have other kinds of objects which have many different elements, many different components to them, many different parts. And when you have something of that nature, when you have something which is more intricate, which is more delicate, and something which is made up of many different parts, it doesn't matter how big or small it is, that's not going to determine the value of the object itself. He says, if you look at the screw on the object and you say, oh, this object would have been much more worthwhile had the screw been bigger than it is, that's a joke. You can't assume such a thing. If the screw would be any bigger than it is, it wouldn't fit. It wouldn't be able to be the whole composite, the whole what you wanted to reach, the goal that you wanted. So too, he says over here, the world was created in a very complicated way, in a very complex way. And he says the Torah HaKadosha was also created in a very complex way. It's not a one-dimensional Torah. It's something that's a three-dimensional Torah. And he said, therefore, since it's made of many different screws and many different parts and many different things, 613 parts, for a person to come along and say, you know what, I think the mitzvah of tefillin is very nice, but if we had five parshios on the tefillin, it would be even bigger. The screw would be worth even more if it was bigger. You're missing the boat of what the complex composite is of the Torah itself. Says the Dubna Magid, our understanding has to be that in order to have a flawless, a perfect Torah, it has to be that all the screws fit, that everything is exactly the way the artist made it to be fit. And if you're going to make an imbalance in any way by augmenting the Torah or by taking away from the Torah, that's going to not make the Torah more valuable, but make the Torah more deficient and less effective. So that's what the Dubna Magid writes. And I think it's a beautiful mashal in understanding what we are talking about when we describe the Isra of Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra. In any case, our Gemara quotes a very famous Mishnah in Zvachim. Now, this Mishnah in Zvachim is quoted both in our Gemara, it's quoted in Zvachim as well, Daf Pei, and it's also quoted in Erevin Daf Kuf. Erevin Daf Kuf is the more famous place, but let's read it together. The Mishnah says over there a very important case, and we have to pay attention to the case. You have certain karbanos that need to be sprinkled one time on the Mizbeach. You have other karbanos that need to be sprinkled four times on the Mizbeach. What do the karbanos need one sprinkling on the Mizbeach? So the Gemara says, as we all know from Mishnayos, that we say in the morning, Ezem Makoman, HaBechavra, HaMaisera, HaPesach. Those three karbanos only have one sprinkle on the Mizbeach. A karban chatas has Shtema Tanashein Arba. You have four sprinklings on the Mizbeach. So says the Gemara, you have the following case. Hanitanin b'matana achas. Let's say we're all Erev Pesach in the Beis Hamikdash, and you have Shechter's Karban Pesach, and you have Shraga's Karban Pesach, and you have everybody's Karban Pesach, and it's such a big to-do in the Beis Hamikdash, and it's so busy, that now, the cup that has my blood from my Karban Pesach gets mixed up with your cup, and they're all mixed together. So the Gemara says, what do you need in a case like that? Easy. Well, it's your Karban Pesach, and it's my Karban Pesach. May as well go ahead and sprinkle it once. Therefore, some of my blood got on the Mizbeach, and some of your blood got on the Mizbeach. No problem at all. What if you have one day, Shechter does an Aver, he has to bring a Karban Chatas, and somebody else does an Aver, he also has to bring a Karban Chatas. So each of us have to sprinkle the Dam four times on the Mizbeach, says the Gemara, but now your blood gets mixed in together in the pot with my blood. So what do? Very easy, says the Mishnah. Go ahead and sprinkle four times. This way, some of the blood is going to be yours, some of it is going to be mine, and we've taken care of our obligation. Now it gets to a dilemma. Now you have a bigger problem. What if it's Erev Pesach, and you're bringing your Karban Pesach, and I'm bringing my Karban Chatas? So yours has to be sprinkled one time. Mine has to be sprinkled four times. So what do? If now our blood gets mixed together, what do now? That's what we call a halachic dilemma. So what do? Says the Gemara, this goes down, it boils down to a machlokes hatanai. Rabbi Eliezer says, when you have a problem, a dilemma like that, where you have the blood of the four that gets mixed up with the blood of the one, says the Gemara, Yinasnu b'matan arba. Go ahead and sprinkle it four times, because there's definitely something here that needs to be sprinkled four times, so you should go ahead and sprinkle four. Rabbi Shua says, no, Yinasnu b'matan achas. You should do it only one sprinkling. What's the crux of the machlokas? Says the Gemara, well, we're afraid if you're going to do four, that's going to be a violation of Baltosif, because really maybe you're only supposed to do one. And on the other hand, we're afraid if you're only going to do one and not do four, then you're going to be in violation of Baltigra. So says the Gemara, this is what they're disagreeing about. Is it better to violate Baltigra, or is it better to violate Baltosif? We'll get back to that in a few minutes. Ask the Turi Yevin a very obvious kasha. Turi Yevin in our Gemara, where the Mishnah and Zvachim is quoted, says, I don't understand. The Gemara gives us two options. Either you sprinkle it four times on the Mizbeach, and you violate Baltosif, or you sprinkle it one time in the Mizbeach and you violate Baltigra. Says the Turi Yevin, there's a third option. Don't sprinkle at all. Then you won't violate Baltosif and you won't violate Baltigra. What? Oh, so then you're Mevatel the Mitzvah Saseh of Zrika on the Mizbeach. But at least I don't violate any Aveira B'Yadayim. At least I don't violate Baltosif. I don't violate Baltigra. So why not just forget about it? Dump the blood out. Don't sprinkle it at all. This way you save yourself from violating Baltosif and violating Baltigra. Now the premise, the assumption that the Turi Yevin is making is that when a person is mevatel a mitzvah, like here, if I go and I spill the blood out on the floor, down the drain, and I don't use it at all, and I don't sprinkle at all on the Mizbeach, the Turi Yevin's assumption is that you're not violating Baltigra. That's clear. And therefore he has the question, why don't you say we have an option three? Option one is Baltosif, option two is Baltigra, option three is don't do anything. So the Turi Yevin's assumption is that when a person is mevatel a mitzvah haseh, there is not going to be any kind of violation of Baltigra at all. Now this assumption is not so simple. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva, when he talks about bitul mitzvah haseh, Rabbeinu Yonah writes that al kol mitzvah haseh, there is an azharas lav shebechlalos, there's a separate added azhara on every mitzvah haseh that we're obligated to do, of lo sosef halav lo sigra mimenu. And some achronim point out that what Rabbeinu Yonah means to say is, if you choose to be mevatel a mitzvah haseh, you are violating the law of Baltigra, which is clearly an assumption against what the Turi Yevin says. If you assume that way, then the Turi Yevin's question is not a question. If you assume that by not fulfilling a mitzvah, let's say this Rosh Hashanah I decide I'm not going to go to shul, not that I'm an honest, I'm in the hospital, I decide I'm not going to shul, I don't want to hear the shofar. So not only am I mevatel a mitzvah haseh of shofar, but perhaps I'm also in violation of Baltigra as well. Now the Turi Yevin said, that's impossible, you cannot say such a thing. And the Turi Yevin therefore has this question, why doesn't our Gemara give option three? Why doesn't our Gemara give an option three of not sprinkling the blood at all? But if you assume that option three is not an option because you're going to violate Baltigra also, so then the Turi Yevin's question wouldn't be a question at all. Yeah?
Well, I can just spill the blood out and do a different korban, and it's not about the mitzvah at all.
What do you mean? Because you already shechted the korban.
I have a
mitzvah, say of Zrika. That's right in front of me.
If you're going to do the korban, like in 10 minutes now, you do it on
what does it help? What do you mean? I shechted a Korban Pesach. The Shechita was good.
You can have a shofar that you're not going to hear shofar the whole day.
Okay.
You're not going to bottle the Korban Pesach if you bring the Korban Pesach 10 minutes later.
What do you mean? But I already brought my Korban Pesach. I can't make a new Korban Pesach. I brought it already. Now that the Korban's befaneinu, I have a mitzvah right in front of me that is to take that blood that you already shechted of the Korban Pesach and sprinkle it on the Mizbeach. So now you're going to be mevatel the mitzvah. So in truth, this is a very complicated question in general, and that's what I want to talk about a little bit. How do we define the conditions of Bal Tigra? How do we figure out what constitutes Bal Tigra and what doesn't? Over here you seem to have an assumption of the Turi Evan that if a person's Mevatel Mitzvah Saseh, there would be no Bal Tigra. Is that such a clear assumption? Well, it seems not. But how exactly do we define Bal Tigra? So that's what we're going to talk about. Yeah?
If the blood is both mixed,
mm-hmm.
Feeling,
right?
So why not sprinkle it four times and use the Hatas, you know, your Mosef on the Pesach, because if you
that's the question. That's the question on both. Maybe it's Bal Tosef, maybe it's Bal Tigra. Okay, but you have a halachic dilemma in front of you, so that's what you have to figure out. Should he do it or not? So, we begin with Tosef's Kasha. Tosef has a Kasha not only on our sugya, but Tosef has the Kasha earlier in the Masechta on Daf Tazayin as well. Tosef says, the Gemara says on Daf Tazayin, that the Chachamim decided that we should be Tokea b'miyushav and Tokea while we're in Amida also. Ask the Gemara, why do we have a second Tkiya Shofar in Rosh Hashanah? Kedei la'arvev asa Satan. Satan's not going to know what's happening. He's going to come to Shul. He's going to think we're blowing now, we're blowing later. Not going to know what's happening. Tosis asks the obvious kasha. The Torah says, blow the Shofar. Chacham come along and say, oh, you want to confuse the Satan. You don't want him to understand. So therefore, blow the Shofar again. Isn't that Bal Tosef? It's Tosis kasha on Daf Tazayin. Obvious question. So Tosis answers, no. Why would you not violate Bal Tosef? Because he says, the only time you violate Bal Tosef is when you do, at the time of the Kiyum HaMitzvah, you do something extra in your Kiyum HaMitzvah. However, he says over here, if you just perform a mitzvah twice in a row, that is not considered Bal Tosef. So therefore, you take for example, you have a Kohen who does Nesias Kapayim, and he does his mitzvah. Now he decides a few minutes later, you know what, I love this tzibur so much, I'm going to go and do Nesias Kapayim again. Not that at the time that he does Nesias Kapayim, he adds an extra bracha into the Nusach of Nesias Kapayim. No. That would be Bal Tosef. What we're talking about here is where he chooses to do the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim twice. Tosef says that's not Bal Tosef. Or you take, for example, a person decides to go and blow shofar twice. Says Tosef, once was the mitzvah, once is not the mitzvah, but that's not called Bal Tosef because you're not doing it, you're not changing anything in the structure of how you perform the mitzvah itself at the Shas Kiyum HaMitzvah. You have somebody on Sukkot who decides, you know what, I shook Lulav this morning, but I want to do it again. You're not in violation of Bal Tosef because you're just performing a mitzvah activity two times in a row. That's not called Bal Tosef. That's the answer Tosef gives. The Rashban Daf Tazayin asks the same kasha as Tosef, but he gives a different answer. And the answer that he gives is what the Turi Yevon has a major problem with. Again, Tosef wanted to know, how can the Chacham come along and tell me to go and blow shofar twice on Rosh Hashanah? Isn't that a violation of Bal Tosef? So, Yaron Daf Tazayin?
Yes.
Top Tosef on Tazayin Amid Beis. Tosef asked the Kasha. So the question is, how can Chacham come along and tell me that I should blow shofar twice? Isn't that a violation of Bal Tosef? So Tosef gives his answer that no, as I do it two different times, that's not considered Bal Tosef to repeat a mitzvah a second time. However, the Rashban Daf Tazayin disagrees and he says no. How do you categorize when something is considered Bal Tosef or Bal Tigra, and how do you not? Listen carefully what he says. Hu Adin here is his Lashon. Bebal Tigra Litzorech. If you have that the Chachim came up with an important reason why you should not perform a mitzvah. For example, Kegon Yamtiv Shel Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos. When you have Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos, says the Rashba, and the Chachamim were nervous, maybe someone's going to violate the Isra of Hotzah, they're going to carry the shofar outside without an Erev. Says the Rashba, in a case like that, where it was done litzorech, where the Chacham came along and said, because we have this and this concern, therefore you should not blow shofar, that's not called Bal Tigra, because you're doing it for a reason. And he says, Afagav diyamra Torah tiku, even though the Torah said you should blow shofar, however the Chacham came along and said, don't follow the law of the Torah, that's not Bal Tigra, because they're telling you not to follow for a good reason. V'hachanami litzorech, he says, anytime you're doing it for a reason, that would not be Bal Tosef either. So if the Chacham come along and say, yes, the Torah says you should go ahead and blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, but we think that it's not good enough to blow once, we have a good reason why you should blow a second time as well. In a case like that where it's for a good reason, we say that would not be considered Bal Tosef. Just like if the Chachamim come along and give you a good reason why not to perform a mitzvah saseh, that would also not be Bal Tigra. Okay, so the Rashba's Teretz is not like Tosis, but says the Turi Eben. What do you see from the Rashba? What do you see from the Rashba? What you see is, think for a minute, what you see from the Rashba is, let's say you would decide not to blow shofar for no good reason. Again, the Chacham tell us there are certain conditions in which you're not supposed to blow shofar. For example, Rosh Hashanah Shchalis B'Shabbos. Chacham would come along and tell us that on Rosh Hashanah we think it's a good idea, Litzorech, you should go ahead and blow shofar twice. So that's why it's not Bal Tosif. But what if I, Joe Schmo, comes along and says, you know what, I think it's not a good idea to blow shofar this year. And I decide this year we're not blowing shofar in shul. What's the implication of the Rashba? In a case like that, says the Rashba, you would violate Bal Tigra. Because the reason you're knocking out the mitzvah is shelo letzorech. It's not that you have a good reason why you said we shouldn't blow shofar. Just for no reason. Arbitrarily, you decided one year that you don't want to blow shofar. The Rashba says in a case like that, you would violate Bal Tigra. Okay, is that clear? Because the Rashba says the only time you're not in violation of Bal Tigra is when there's a good reason why the Chachamim took it out of the Tariq mitzvahs. But if you're doing it for no good reason, you just choose to be mevatel mitzvahs asay for no good reason, the Rashba seems to say clearly that in a case like that, you would not be in violation. I'm sorry, you would be in violation not only of a bitul mitzvah saseh, but you would also be in violation of the law of Bal Tigra. Is that clear? So the Turi Eben says, I don't understand what he's talking about. That's not Bal Tigra. That's just a bitul mitzvah saseh. Anytime you're mevatel mitzvah saseh, this year I decide not to eat Karma Pesach. This year I decide I'm not going to blow the shofar. This year I decide I'm not going to shake the lulav. You'll tell me I'm not only mevatel mitzvah saseh, you're going to tell me I'm also violating the law of Bal Tigra? What are you talking about, says the Turi Eben. And in fact, the Turi Eben adds to his question. Turi Eben says, we have a big machlis in the Gemara. What averus do you have to violate in order to be punishable with malchus? So we all know, halacha l'maisa, we paskin, that what? Has to be a lav sheyesh b'maisa, you have to have some sort of activity involved, has to be dumi de lav de chasima. There are a whole bunch of rules that we learn of when you're going to be obligated, when you're going to be in violation of an isser that is punishable with malchus. However, not all opinions in the Gemara agree with that. There are those who feel that a lav she'en bo ma'isa, even if you violate a lav in the Torah that doesn't have any action along with it, you're also going to get malchus. We happen not to paskin that way, but there is an opinion in the Gemara, says the Turi Eben. So you're going to tell me that for those who believe that a lav she'en bo ma'isa lo ken alav, for those who feel that when you violate a lav that you didn't do with an action, you get malchus. So he says, you're going to tell me that every time a person's mevatel mitzvah saseh, we're going to give him malchus? You choose not to eat matzah this Pesach. You decide not to blow shofar this Rosh Hashanah. You decide you don't want to shake the dalaminim this Sukkot. Then not only are you mevatel mitzvah saseh, you're also in violation of Bal Tigra, we're going to give you malchus? Really? It's a lav shema maisa, but he says, according to those opinions that say lav shema maisa, you get malchus, nobody in their right mind would ever say such a thing, says the Turi Eben. Even the Mandamar says, Lav Shem on Mice ain't looking at love. He would never say that you get Malchus for being Mevatel and Mitzvah Saseh. That's crazy, says the Turi Eben. So how can the Rosh Baal make such an assumption? Now, I don't know why he's so crazy. Why is that so crazy? Why is that such a kasha? Turi Eben says, because we don't find in the Gemara anywhere where we say such a thing. What do you mean? If you hold Lav Shem on Mice, you get Malchus. So Lav Shem on Mice, you get Malchus, even when you're Mevatel and Mitzvah Saseh. I don't know why it's such a crazy assumption, but the Turi Eben says such a thing is incomprehensible. You can't imagine such a thing. It's impossible. And this says the Turi Eben as follows. If I disagree with the Rashba's definition of Bal Tigra, now it's not, the onus is on me, says the Turi Eben, to come up with a new definition. So how do you understand Bal Tigra? Again, the Rashba said Bal Tigra is anytime I choose to be mevatel mitzvah asay for no good reason, that's already a violation of not only a bitul asay, but also a violation of Bal Tigra. Says the Turi Eben, I don't believe that that can be the case. And the Turi Eben therefore has to figure out, how do I define what Bal Tigra is? What does a person have to do to violate Bal Tigra? Says the Turi Eben, this is his Lashon, She'ein Lashon Giron Nofel. The only time you could say it's called Bal Tigra that you're leaving out is Elahecha She'asa Mitzvah. It's only in a case where you actually did a mitzvah. Ela Shelo Asa HaMitzvah Bishlei Musa Uvimilua. It's only in a case where you did a mitzvah, but you just didn't do it properly. Again, the Rashba says it implies to a case even where you didn't do the mitzvah. That's also Bal Tigra. The Turi Eben says that can't be. So therefore the Turi Eben says no. The answer is the only time you can consider it to be Bal Tigra is where you went ahead and you performed the mitzvah. But you didn't do it the right way. You left out the details of the mitzvah. In a case like that, says the Turi Eben, that's where you're going to violate Bal Tigra. But if you don't do the mitzvah at all, he says, you're Yoshev Ibato, you're just sitting around and you choose not to eat matzah, you choose not to eat maror, you choose not to shake the lulav. In a case like that, Baal Tigra would not be applicable at all. That's what he suggests. Now, Tereyevin then goes a little bit further, and he says, what if a person is migarei on a mitzvah? What if I have a mitzvah to put on dalet kamfas and mitzitzis? And I decide, you know what, I'm only putting on three. So what would he say in a case like that? It's Baal Tigra. I would have said that. Says the Tereyevin, no. Why? Because the mitzvah is to only have dalet kamfas. If you only put on three, or if you only shake three minim in the lulav, you didn't perform a mitzvah. You have nothing. It's like you did nothing. Therefore, says the Tereyevin, according to my understanding of what Baal Tigra is, that the only time you can violate Baal Tigra is when you perform a mitzvah, but you're not doing it properly. Therefore, he says, we can extrapolate from my reasoning, says the Tereyevin, that if you had a case where a person wears a tzitzis with only three corners on the garment, or if you choose to shake only three minim in the lulav, or you have tefillin with only three parshios in it without four, in any case like that, says the Tereyevin, you're not in violation of Baal Tigra either. You're mevatel the mitzvah saseh, but you're not in violation of Baal Tigra because you haven't performed the mitzvah. Now this Tereyevin is a major problem, because the Rishonim say not like that. Rashi on Chumash says explicitly, again, how do we categorize Baal Tigra? That's the million dollar question here. The Rashba says he has one definition. Tereyevin over here says he doesn't like the Rashba's definition. He makes up his own. But his making up of his own is connected Rashi and Chumash. Rashi and Chumash says, what do we mean when we say Baal Tosef, says Rashi, Kigon, for example, hey Parshias betfilin, hey Minim Shebelulav, if you're going to take five Parshias and tefillin instead of four, or you're going to take five Minim on Sukkos instead of four, or you're going to put on five corners to the garment and put on five pairs of tzitzis, that's going to be, not five different pairs of tzitzis, but you're going to put on five corners of the tzitzis, that's going to be Baal Tosef. And says Rashi, V'chein lo sigru. So Baal Tigra is the same, meaning if you're going to take three tzitzis, or three minim, or only three parshios in the tefillin, that's going to be Baal Tigra. According to the Tereyevin, he said, what do you mean, in a case like that, you don't have a mitzvah at all, so there's nothing to talk about Baal Tigra. So this is a major discussion, exactly how do we define the definition, how do we define the term of Baal Tosef and Baal Tigra, what exactly does it mean? So again, let's just sum up what we have so far. We have, I believe, is three different opinions in how we categorize, how we classify the violation of Baal Tigra. Yeah? Oh, because Matana Ach, that's a very good question. So let's go back to where we started. Matana Achas, if I have the case where I have four sprinklings that need to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach and one sprinkling that needs to be sprinkled, now they get mixed together, how is that Baal Tigra? Answer is, because B'dievet, everybody agrees, that's what I was going to wait till the end to get to this point, but it's a very important point. B'dievet, everybody agrees that if you sprinkle something that's supposed to have four, if you only do it once, everybody agrees, B'dievet or Yotze. Just, the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha points out from our Gemara, a very important Chiddush. If you have an option to either be Mekayim a Mitzvah Lachatchila, but you choose to do it B'dievet, says the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha, you see from your question, from our Gemara, what you see is, you violate Baal Tigra. It's not just that you don't have a fancy mitzvah, you don't get the cherry on top, the extra schar, oh, I didn't do the lechatchila. No, it's more than that. It's you have a violation of Baal Tigra, because here you're going ahead, performing the mitzvah, but you're doing it in a way of b'dievet. How can you do such a thing? And says the Bir Halacha, you can prove from our Gemara, from the fact that our Gemara says it's called Baal Tigra, even though everybody agrees that if you only sprinkle it once on the Mizbeach, you're mekayim the mitzvah, both for the Chatas and for the Karban Pesach. But yet that's called Baal Tigra. How can it be called Baal Tigra? I did my mitzvah b'di'eved. What you see from here is, if you have a choice to do a mitzvah, lichatchila or b'di'eved, and you choose, for whatever reason, to do it b'di'eved, what the Mishnah Berurah proves from here is, you're in violation of the Isser Baal Tigra, which is why my father argues in his piece about Tcheles. If nowadays, yes, you can be mekayim the mitzvah b'di'eved just by wearing white. The mitzvah lechatchila is to have tcheles and lavan. If you go ahead and you choose that, even though you think it's tcheles, but you choose not to go ahead and wear it, so then you're in violation of Baal Tigra. Not just that, oh, I don't want to have the mitzvah b'shle Musa, I don't want to be mekayim the mitzvah lechatchila. What you see from our Gemara is, if you have an opportunity to perform a mitzvah lechatchila, and you choose, for whatever reason, to only do the b'di'eved, it's not just that you're missing out on some extra schar, you're missing out on a lot more. You have a violation of Baal Tigra. And every time you wear your tzitzis, you're not just not mekayim the mitzvah lechatchila, but you're violating a lav as well, Baal Tigra. So my father feels anyone who doesn't want to wear it shouldn't wear tzitzis at all, because you're violating Biyadai in Baal Tigra. Every time you put your tzitzis on, it would be better not to wear the tzitzis at all. So this is what, again, he's biased, he has his own opinions, but this is where it comes from. it comes from this Mishnah Berurah that really stems from our sugya. So I think if you want to sum it up, there seems to be three different definitions that you can give of what exactly Bal Tigra would be. Rashi on Chumash says Bal Tigra is, for example, if you do a Maisa Mitzvah and you go ahead and you do it not in the proper way. So Rashi says either you're going to add a fifth parsha in the tefillin or you're going to take away and only have three parshas in the tefillin. A case like that, says Rashi, Giron in the Mitzvah, taking away from the activity that the Mitzvah prescribed you to do, that would be a violation of Bal Tigra off the bat. Then you have the opinion of the Rashba, which takes it a step further. No, says the Rashba, even if you're Yoshev Ubatel, you sit home and you chew, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to blow the shofar, I'm not going to shake the lulav, I'm not going to eat the matzah, I'm not going to eat the maror, says the Rashba, you're violating Bal Tigra. Not only are you going to be punished for being Mevatel Mitzvah Saseh, but you're also going to be punished for violating the lava Bal Tigra. And the Turi Yevon comes along and says, I don't agree with Rashi, and I don't agree with the Rashba either. Turi Yevon says, no, the definition of Bal Tigra is when you're performing a mitzvah. This is what the Beis Halevi writes as well in the Tshuva, that the only time you're in violation of Bal Tigra is when you're performing a mitzvah, and in your performance of the mitzvah, you're choosing to do it in a different way than the Torah said, not the right way, but you're still Yotze B'Diyeved. So therefore, says the Turi Yevon, according to his logic, like we said before, if you choose to wear tefillin that only has three parshios, if you choose to shake the lulav that only has three minim, if you choose to go ahead and do something, wear tzitzis that only has three corners, in a case like that, says the Turi Yevon, you don't violate Bal Tigra. Why? Because, not like Rashi, because over there you have no performance of the mitzvah at all. Since the dalet minim are ma'akvin zeh, since the dalet parshios of tefillin are ma'akvin zeh, since the four corners of the tzitzis are ma'akvin zeh, therefore, if you're missing one of them, you're not a violation of Bal Tigra. You're just being mevatel the mitzvah legamri. In a case like that, he says, you cannot claim that the person is violating Bal Tigra. Maybe tomorrow we'll pick up with another very important critical point that comes out from our Gemara. We'll have maybe a little chabura after mincha just to finish.